thoroughly enjoyed the meeting thus far, and there are some advantages to being last. One of those is certainly realizing that you've been well fed.
Amen, brother.
You've been fed both spiritually and naturally. You've been given that food, and you still look awake. I mean, so I'm thankful for that has gone before. I'm thankful for the gift of these men that have stood before us.
Amen.
And I'm thankful that God has delivered them to be able to exercise that gift. And I'm thankful that they have been faithful in the exercising of it. And you, brother and sister, need to be thankful that you've been blessed to sit under the sound of the gospel. Because it comes by the grace of God. You don't just gather here and stick men up here and they preach the gospel. It doesn't just happen. And nobody knows that better than these men that are sitting here that have stood before you. They know that it's by the deliverance of the grace of God that we're able to stand and preach unto you. Yes, sir. Thank God. Turn to Romans, the 15th chapter and the 13th verse. One verse. It says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Now that is a loaded verse. That is a verse. How much can we talk about our God, our God of hope? How much can we talk about joy and peace? How much can we talk about believing, abounding in hope? And how much can we talk about the Holy Ghost and His power? So there's a lot there. That's right, brother. So we just go hit a few thoughts. But here we have the Apostle Paul having a desire unto God, the God of hope, on behalf of these brethren and sisters, the Church of Rome, that they would be filled with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now this was a desire that he had for God's people. But you know, this goes beyond the desire that Paul had for God's people. Because you know what? It's been inspired by the Holy Spirit to be written in the Word of God. Now that's a wonderful prayer, and we've heard men pray wonderful prayers, and you've heard men, as they have prayed publicly before us, stir your heart and soul, and you've been lifted up as they have carried their voices unto God, and you pray with them, and you're exalted in that. But brothers and sisters, we have right here a God-inspired prayer that is telling us, it's like God is saying to us, you can pray this prayer unto me. You know, we don't know what to pray for as we ought. Brothers and sisters, we know we can pray this. We can pray unto our God of hope to fill us with all joy and peace in believing through it that we may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. We can pray that prayer. I would encourage you to pray that prayer. Sometimes you may feel like your prayers are repetitious. You don't know what to pray. You're bogged down. We had a lot of talking about that today, and it's been good, and I've rejoiced in it. Well, brothers and sisters, turn to the Word of God and pray.
Yes.
Pray what's here. It says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing." Now here we have a wondrous thing to consider, that as we pray unto God, that we can pray unto God that He is this great God of hope. But God says, as the God of hope, that I will fill you with all joy and all peace. These are things, some things that we as the children of God have a right to claim, to lay hold of, to embrace. And this joy that we have, and the joy aspect is particularly upon my mind, but this joy that we have is not just, it's not just having a happy disposition. It's not just being optimistic. It's just not having positive thinking. But this joy is based in the reality of some belief.
Yes.
Isn't that what it says? It says that God of hope would fill us with all joy and peace in believing. There's some things that we believe, some things that we lay hold of, some things that we understand as we're filled with this joy and this peace. Well, let's look back in the book of Romans just a little earlier, and it says in Romans in the 14th chapter, it says this in the 17th verse, and I love this verse, where it says, "The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost." How similar that is to what he says there a little bit later. But here we find that the kingdom of God, that we live in, and that we have been translated into by the power of God, is comprised of these elements of righteousness, peace, and joy. Well, You know, we all would agree with righteousness. I mean, we know God's righteous. He's a holy God. Christ is righteous. He is the manifestation of righteousness. The Godhead is righteous, so you buy into that. But aren't you thankful, brothers and sisters, out of the three things that could have been said about the kingdom of God, that those three things that have been said are righteousness, peace, and joy. Peace and joy, brothers and sisters. There's an element there in our life as the children of God that should be wrapped up in joy. What does it say over here in the book of Galatians? You go into Galatians in the 5th chapter. Find in the 22nd verse there as it talks about the fruits of the Spirit. And there's several that are listed here in those things. The 5th chapter of Galatians in the 22nd verse. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Well, again, as you read those fruits of the Spirit, okay, you know, okay, well, yeah. I mean, I've got to be long-suffering now, you know. Born again of the Spirit of God, I've got to be long-suffering. I've got to be patient. I've got to be gentle. I've got to be good. I've got to have faith. I've got to have meekness. I've got to have temperance. Brothers and sisters, the first three things that are listed are love, joy, and peace. Love, joy, and peace. And again, all three of these verses we've looked at so far are talking about the Holy Ghost, talking about filling us with all joy and peace and believing through the power of the Holy Ghost, talking about that the kingdom of God is righteousness, joy and peace, peace and joy through or in the Holy Ghost. Here we find the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. Well, let's talk about the Holy Ghost a little bit. Let's talk about that because we're talking about believing. Well, brothers and sisters, how is it that we believe? How is it that we have understanding of anything? How is it that we know any of these spiritual truths and realities? How is it that we have this knowledge of God? How is it that Peter, when Christ said, whom do you say that I am, that he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, why did he say that? There were thousands of others that didn't believe that. Why did Peter believe it? Why did Peter believe it? Why do we believe it? Why do we have that? Brothers and sisters, through the power of the Holy Ghost. It's because Christ said unto him, flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee. And you know what? The flesh and blood of Jesus Christ didn't reveal it either. Because the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ was revealed to a whole lot of people. They all saw the man standing there before them. Brothers and sisters, take something more than that. Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee. My Father, which art in heaven, hath revealed this unto thee. And how does the Father reveal these things unto us? Well, if you go over to where Elder Jerry Hunt Sr. was reading this morning in Galatians 4, and you jump down there a little bit further, it says that God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. That's what happens, brothers and sisters. That's how God does this revelation, is by sending the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. And what happens when that does happen? Well, we find over here in the book of Romans. You can go to Romans in the 8th chapter, and we find there, this is the power of the Holy Ghost. Remember, we're filled with all joy and peace in believing through the power of the Holy Ghost. And the power of the Holy Ghost is that by which we believe. Which is then the basis of the peace and the joy that we have as we've been blessed by this God of hope, and then we abound in that hope that we have. But over here in Romans 8, it tells us there that we have not received, this is the 15th verse, for we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And brothers and sisters, what's happened? That's how is it that we believe? That's how is it that you are sitting here, you know something. That is why you believe that there was some reason to come to church on a Monday morning. And listen to the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Is because you believe in the Son of God. You believe that you're the children of God. You believe that God is your heavenly Father. What good does this man's preaching going to do to us about salvation, about God as our Heavenly Father, about God comforting us, about God sending His Son into the world, all these messages that have been delivered? None of that is all of that is meaningless if you don't believe. If there's not some reality there, if there's not more than the bare letter there. There's got to be some power and some truth and some knowledge that exists in your heart and soul about this. That's the only way to have joy and peace. It's for there to be some belief and understanding of these truths. So the Spirit believes and or the Spirit reveals and witnesses unto us that we are the children of God. It tells us over here in the fifth chapter of the book of Romans, again, talking about the work of the Spirit of God in the fifth chapter and the fifth verse. It says, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So we have the Holy Spirit given unto us, and with the Holy Spirit comes the shedding of the love of God in our hearts. So see, that's the other element that takes place there. And it's this brother, that, I mean, these things have been emphasized. God loves us. How do we know that God loves us? Because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. So there's some believing. Remember, it says that the God of hope would fill us with all joy and peace in believing. In believing these things. And then what is the other thing that it talks about? And the brother talked about the Comforter being sent. What does the Comforter do? What does the Holy Spirit do? It takes of the things of Christ and shows them unto us, doesn't it? That's what the Holy Spirit does. He takes of Christ and reveals it unto us. These are the things, I mean, we're talking, you're just touching the surface of how it is that we come to a knowledge and belief of these things of God, the basis of which is our joy and peace. But as we have these things, that as we have been blessed with these things, and we have been born again of the Spirit of God, we are blessed to have this prayer unto God, our Heavenly Father, the God of hope, that He would fill us with all joy and peace in those things that we believe. That we may abound in that hope in this life and in the life to come. Through the power of the Holy Ghost. Through God's power. Well, let's look over in the book of John. In the book of John, there's a couple of just very interesting verses here. In John, in the 15th chapter, and you know, these things comes on the heel of what Brother Gus Harder was talking about. He goes on in the 15th chapter and talks about being the vine, and we're the branches. Some things to understand and believe that we're in Christ, our life is in Christ, and that we are is all in Him. He gets on over here to the 11th verse, and he says this. Just in the midst of all this that he's talking about, he just says in the 11th verse of the 15th chapter of John, he says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy. Answer this. Christ talking about my joy. That my joy might be full, right, remain in you, and that your joy might be full. These things, Christ says, these things have I spoken unto you. What things? Well, a lot of the things that Brother Gus already told us about in that previous chapter. These things that Christ has been talking to them and speaking to them about over these whole 3 years of ministry with them. These things have I spoken unto you that my joy might be remain in you and that your joy might be full. Well, hold that verse and turn over a couple pages to the 17th chapter of the book of John. This is where Jesus Christ, the man Jesus Christ, is praying unto His Heavenly Father. He's praying unto His Father, and it's fascinating to me just to consider what words, what interaction that took place between God the Son and God the Father. You know, as they're communicating here. Well, in the middle of this prayer, we find this statement down here in the 13th verse of this prayer. And Christ says, as He's praying unto the Father, He says, and now come I to thee. I come before thee, my Heavenly Father. Now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Now, you know, when we read this verse over here that was our text verse, and you read, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Now, if you're like I am, you just go along and you think about, okay, you know, well, I know I'm supposed to be joyful in the things of God. You know, I'm supposed to have joy in God, and I'm supposed to be thankful for what God's done and rejoice in those things. But it seems like that Jesus Christ is taking that a little bit deeper, a little bit further, because He's not just talking about whipping up some joy within yourself. He's talking about my joy, Christ's joy. Christ says, my joy be What does Christ say over here in the book of Hebrews? In the book of Hebrews, he makes this statement in the 12th chapter. The statement is made in the 12th chapter about Christ. He says in the second verse of the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews. A lot more here, but let's just get this thought. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, we've heard ministers talk today about that our God is the sovereign God, the almighty God, doeth whatever soever he pleases, and none can stay his hand, and all those types of things. What was the purpose in the Lord Jesus Christ hanging upon the cross? Well, at the very least, based on Hebrews 12:11, it was for the joy that was set before him. It says that that's why Christ endured the cross and despised the shame. For the joy. And what was the joy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? It was to secure the salvation of his people. It was to come and to do the will of the Father. And the will of the Father was that he would save his people from their sins. That was his joy. And I'll tell you, he was not discouraged in that joy. He looked out there and he knew that there would be a fullness of that joy. And he wasn't wringing his hands. He wasn't discouraged. He wasn't worried about how it was all going to play out. He knew. Let me just ask you this. Is there any doubt in your mind that the joy of Jesus Christ is going to be full? Is there any doubt in your mind that it is going to be fulfilled? Not going to fall short, is it? So there's going to be a fullness in the joy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if there's a fullness of his joy, and if he is praying unto the Heavenly Father that the fullness of that joy might be fulfilled in my people, I have spoken these things that your joy might be full and that my joy might be in you and that your joy in me might be full. Now the God of hope fill us with all joy and peace in believing that we may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Let's go over here to the book of Peter and we'll close with this. It says here in 1 Peter, it says this over here in the 8th verse. And as you think about Jesus Christ and you think about the joy that is set before him, let me make this comment before I read that. Because a lot of times when we think about, and rightly so, it's just we think about the work of Jesus Christ and we think about statements that are made, like in the book of Hebrews, that Jesus Christ ever liveth to make intercession for us. And we read over there in 1 John where it talks about that, you know, we should sin not, but if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. And all those kind of statements, and we're thankful for that, and we rejoice in that. And we're thankful that Christ is at the right hand of the throne of the majesty on high, interceding on our behalf. But I guess I would want to put the thought before you that his intercession is not only for our sin, which it certainly is, but it is also for our joy. Amen. That's what he says. He says, I speak these things that your joy might be fulfilled. He prays unto the Father that the joy would be full in them. Brothers and sisters, he suffered upon the cross to die for our sins, yes, but for the joy that was set before him. So it is a joy that we have in the intercessory work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So think about that. He is now today interceding for your joy and my joy. He's interceding for our joy. And we get so bogged down. And I'm worst of anybody. As you're getting bogged down in the day-to-day things of life and in your sin and your despair. And it never seems like you do enough or are good enough or accomplishing anything. I mean, it just seems like you're just bogged down all the time. But brothers and sisters, Christ did not hang upon the cross in order for us to live a life like that. He did not. He died on the cross for the joy. That's what he says. He died on the cross for the joy and for the fulfillment of that joy in his people. It says here in 1 Peter in the 1st chapter, and in the 8th verse, again, a lot more here, but let's just read this. Talking about Jesus Christ. It says, whom, having not seen, ye love. In whom, though ye see him not, yet believing. See, there it is, the believing. Hadn't seen him, but we believe through the power of the Holy Ghost. Yet believing, ye rejoice. with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Rejoice with joy unspeakable. You can't, just can't express it. You can't wrap your mind around it to even hardly talk about it. Rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Brother talked a lot about salvation. There's a salvation there, brothers and sisters, that has been wrought out by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, by which He has given us eternal life. But we today, right now, yo, we've not seen Him face to face, yet believing, we can rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory and receive the end of our faith, even the salvation of our souls. Praying to God, the God of hope, that He would fill us with all joy and peace in believing, that we may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Amen.